ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another Adventures in Truth livecast. My name is Jim Case, and I am your host, and I'm looking a little red today. What's up to that? Let's see if I can adjust that a little bit. But anyway, I'm glad you're here. Thank you for being here. This is going to be a great show. I've got Moshe Engelberg back with us, and we're having a conversation with Moshe to continue the dialogue regarding self-awareness. We did a show last week on self-awareness and found that we went into a very deep well and now wanted to kind of focus that even more in an effort to really evolve this whole concept of self-awareness and how do we get there from here and what are some ways that we can stimulate that self-awareness. And part of that is learning how to cultivate the observer. We also want to talk some about dealing with things like friction and contrast and what that looks like. And then also in relationship to self-awareness versus self-indulgence and two very particular and specific ideas that we want to explore. So I'm excited to have Moshe. He's going to be here shortly. But before we do that, as we always do, we're going to dive in here and going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Whoops. Adjusting to my buttons again. All right. Fear is a Choice book. www.fearisachoicebook.com. I encourage you to get this book. This book is amazing. This book is powerful. And I say that, but I mean it very sincerely because What I know is that the information in this book can help change your relationship with fear, which is ultimately what this platform is all about. Any way that we can reach you to help you better understand your relationship with fear and to change that relationship so that you can find more freedom, more purpose, more passion, and just find the juice in life that is so powerful and so incredible when you are no longer encumbered by fear or being run by that fear consciousness. So also want to say thank you for those that have read the book. I appreciate you so much. Those that have commented, I appreciate it. If you've read the book, if you purchased the book, please make sure you go to wherever you purchased it, Barnes & Noble or Amazon, and leave a comment for us. Let people know what your experience of the book was so others can see it and explore it more. We're also on BookBub the other one, Kindle. And I'm going to be working on the audiobook here. I am working on the audiobook, and hopefully that will be out and done shortly. So www.fearisachoicebook.com. Check it out. Enjoy it. And check out the website. You can see some videos there. You can order books directly there. It'll go right to the Amazon or Barnes & Noble or IndieBound or wherever it is you like to order books from. All right, we'll be back right after this. All right. This is the year of conscious creation, self-determined year of conscious creation. And why am I calling this the year of conscious creation? Well, pretty straightforward. It's time for us all as individuals and collectively to really get conscious about what it is we are creating. We've been unconscious for a very long time and some degree or another. And, you know, in observing the path that we have taken over the last number of years, and even decades, if you think about it, we've not been very conscious about what we create. We've been very singularly focused, I think. So this movement, My World is Good, is about bringing and addressing a new energy into the complex, into in a conscious way. So I see this as, you know, 7.5 billion, 8 billion unique worlds inhabiting this planet called Earth. And these unique worlds are all individually created. There is some co-creation that goes on. Obviously, there's 8 billion of us inhabiting the planet. The magic of it is that we are co-creating, but ultimately we can only create, I can only create my reality. I can only change my reality. I'm the one that's responsible to that and for that. And so what I wanted to do was to create an energy, to create a momentum in the mass consciousness. My world is good. And get us to say this and get us to engage this energy. My world is good. 10 times in the morning when you wake up, just laying in bed. My world is good. My world is good. My world is good. My world is good. Saying it 10 times, saying it 10 times in the evening and using it throughout the course of your day. If you find yourself moving down a negative path or you find yourself questioning, just stop. My world is good. Get your energy lined up with the goodness that is your world and watch how things begin to change. You'll notice in the stuff that I've been putting out lately that I'm talking about examples. I would love for you guys to comment and let me know your experiences with this as you're using it. How is it showing up for you? How are you seeing the goodness more now than you may have been before? And the more of us that do this, we create this tipping point in the consciousness so that my world is good becomes the focus in the consciousness instead of the darkness or instead of the things that have been focusing us that don't serve us largely due to fear, largely because of fear or surrounded or embedded in fear. So this is a way to help help shift that, to help change that whole experience. So my world is good. Jump in. Again, no political affiliation, no religion, no color, no creed, no nothing. This is a human being to human being. My world is good. Join it, share it, be a part of it. I love you for participating in it. And it's a powerful, powerful movement. Thank you for being part of it. And once again, we will be right back. When we come back, Moshe is going to be on the other side. Looking forward to starting the day off with him. Thanks, guys. Woohoo! Whoops. Pushed the wrong button. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Hi, Moshe.
Good morning, Jim.
Good to see you again. How are you?
Good. Glad to be good. Here.
Good. Ready for another exciting conversation in self-awareness?
My awareness tells me that I am.
Yes. And just as a side note, because of this idea, as we talk about things about self-awareness, I'm going to attempt through this show to share the things that I do, you know, throughout the course of whatever we may be talking about, to help understand some of the concept in self-awareness. And part of that is before I ever come on a show, before I get on a phone call, before I sit down to do work, I always get my space right. I always use my breath. I do breathing. I align with the greatest part of myself so that I'm bringing all of me to the game. And that may sound a little technical, but ultimately I have a process that I do, a breath process, that I use at least twice a day, every day, usually. And I use it specifically when I'm focusing into doing the work so that I'm clear and I'm focused. And that to me is the foundation of my self-awareness, because it helps me to tune into where am I, what's happening, how am I, and is there anything I need to adjust in my energy, in my field, in my experience, so that in coming here, I'm going to bring my best version, the best version of myself. And sometimes that looks like bringing my, whatever it is I'm observing, bringing it here and talking about it, because that's part of the whole evolution of changing our relationship with fear and changing our relationship with ourselves in becoming more self-aware. So that's sort of my game plan of the day, and we'll see how that unfolds. What do you think? How does Moshe set himself up? How does Moshe get into self-awareness?
Sometimes it's when I react to things and I notice that doesn't sit right, or that does, that feels really good. I like how you do it in advance. You get your space right. I like that a lot. I do that sometimes also just by slowing down and breathing. especially before I'm interacting with somebody or I'm going into a new place, like mm-hmm. literally entering a new place. Other times, as I said, it's in response to something. I notice what I do. And my wife tells me often I do this. I do make a big sigh. I don't know what's going on. I just know my body needs to do that. Yeah. And that's a cue for me to tune in and figure out is something triggering a reaction.
Yes. And I want to acknowledge that I love your response because I do the same, because just because I prepare the space doesn't mean that stuff doesn't come out of nowhere or apparently nowhere, or that stuff shows up. But preparing the space is part of being able to, which we're going to dive into a little more, is getting into that observer space so that you can not be smacking myself in the face, not be completely consumed by the thing that's coming at you, but that you can be aware that you're having a reaction, but you can still find response in that. And that's part of that, part of self-awareness versus self-indulgence, which we're going to get into. So I love that. What a great foundation to start with. So we are going to, as we always do, let's bring a little focus to this. This topic was really powerful last time, so I'm going to take a minute here and let's take a moment to focus. Moshe, we'll be right back. And this is the part of the show that we like to just bring all of our energies to the same place. You know, we're having a powerful conversation and we want to make sure that everybody's on the same page with us talking about this, or at least, sorry, I got a little unfocused there for a second. In this moment to focus. I gotta have a moment with that. Okay. Oof, let's come back to center here. Jim had a whirlwind trip the last 6 days. He had to drive to Arizona, and a very dear friend is going through some stuff. So I got back last night and got to get my focus on. All right, so let's do this together. So this focusing process is about aligning our energies wherever you are in the world, that in doing this, we bring ourselves together in a field of energy, and that your questions and thoughts and ideas can be aligned into this, and that we can talk about the things that are most important to you because we are in the same field, essentially, in our focus. So let's begin. Take a deep breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. And we'll breathe in that pattern for the rest of this experience, in through the nose and out through the mouth. And just let yourself relax into this moment, into this experience right now as you're listening to my voice, breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth. And as you're breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, just become aware of how you breathe. Excuse me. Become aware of your breath cycle. What does it feel like in your body? What does it feel like as you inhale and exhale? Is it a surface breath? Do you find that it stays sort of in the top of your chest? Is it a belly breath? Do you find that your belly expands when you breathe? Is it a 360 degree kind of breath where when you breathe, everything sort of opens and expands? Or do you breathe into the back? Everyone has a little bit different, and particularly if you've never consciously focused in breath before, this is a powerful way to begin to observe your own breath process. Remember that breath is about life force. Breath is about chi, prana. It's the energy that animates us. So every breath we take animates this body. It brings life-giving oxygen to the cells and to all of the structure of this physical body. It also brings this energy that helps us align to what it is that we are experiencing in the world. So as you're sitting and feeling your way into your breath, I want you to close your eyes and just settle into your space and become aware of your field. And when I say your field, it's your energy. It's the stuff that is all around you that is you, that we don't tend to pay as much attention to. This energetic field is huge because you are focused into this physical body, but the you that is focused into this physical body is enormous, is grand, is incredible. So feeling into that energetic field, start to begin to notice your own field. Notice how big it is. Notice the colors if you can. Notice the experience of it around you. And as you're focusing into it, you may also notice that there are sort of dense areas in your field or clumps of energy. And everyone sees them differently. Some people see them as luggage. Some people see them as blocks. Some people see them as just heaviness. But whatever way that shows up for you, let your mind, let your imagination inform you of that experience, because you are dealing in your own energy system. And so self-awareness is allowing those impressions to infiltrate your consciousness so that you can begin to understand what's happening in your own field. And what I want you to do as you're focused into that field now is I want you to bring your awareness into your heart space, right into the center of your heart. And I want you to call your energy into that space. So I want you to bring that field, leave all the debris, and bring the field into your heart space. Bring it in, feel it, and you'll know it's there. You'll feel it and experience it, because you're going to feel a tingling. You'll feel a warmth that kind of spreads through your chest. You'll feel this expansive feeling, this desire to breathe with all of that energy there. And what I want you to do with this energy is I want you to let it travel through the inside of you. I want you to experience the inside of your being, the inside of this incredible vessel that helps to carry you through this world. And just become aware, start in the head, go up and plow around here in the brain, explore your own brain. Take a look in at your pituitary, look at the sinuses and behind your eyeballs, and see your eyeballs from the backside. And just get a sense of this incredible vehicle that you have. As you trace around your brain and come down your brainstem, go to where it connects into the spine. And there you have this incredible, magical, powerful conductor of energy in your spine, surrounded in fluid, surrounded in bone, protected, but emanating nerves out into the body so that there's sensitivity throughout the whole body. And as you explore your torso, all of the tissues and the joints and the bones and the tendons and the ligaments and the nerves and the blood vessels, just be aware of all of this magical stuff happening in your body. And be aware of the systems, all of these incredible systems that are working in harmony within the casing of this flesh. All of the systems, the skin that's breathing and aerating, cooling and heating, the nervous system, the blood system, the muscular system, the bones, all of it, all of the systems of the body that are simply working in harmony. And notice that you can just be in awareness of that harmony, and you can be in awareness if there's a space of disharmony, and you can breathe into it, and you can lighten it, and you can help to open up the flow of energy there just by your attention to it. And if you can't move it through your attention, maybe it's been there a long time, so it may require a little more energy, a little more effort to move. But that's okay. That's not what we're here for. We're here for awareness. And that's what we're generating now, is self-awareness, because the self is all of this. And now we're going to bring our awareness specifically to the breath, because as we learn how to manage the breath, so we learn how to manage energy. And I say that as a powerful foundation for your own self-awareness. When you can work with breath in a conscious and powerful way, it changes everything, because your awareness changes. You begin to become more of the observer in your experience. And so the things that show up are things that you can attend to instead of react to. So remember, we're breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth. We're going to use a breathing pattern of breathing in to the count of four. We're going to hold it at the top, and then we're going to release it all through the mouth to a count of six, so we can purge all of that old energy and air out of the system. And at the bottom, we're going to rest in that emptiness, in that void space of receiving. So I want you to bring all of that awareness to your breath. And as you inhale to a count of four, inhaling, two, three, four, and you're at the top, you're feeling full, you're relaxing into that fullness. And now you're consciously surrendering all of that energy and air as you purge from the mouth. Two, three, four, five, six. Good. Now rest in the emptiness. This is incredible. Rest in the emptiness. Be comfortable in nothing. As you re-engage the lungs and inhale, bringing in new life force, new energy at two, three, four, feeling full, feeling amazing, relaxing into that incredible full feeling. and then surrendering it all, consciously releasing from the mouth. 2, 3, pulling it all out. 4, 5, 6. And now sit and rest in that emptiness, in that state of receiving. You are ready. You are a vessel that's ready. As you engage the lungs and you inhale, 2, 3, 4, feeling that fullness, feeling that beautiful, full energy. And then consciously choosing to release it in this moment. Release, 2, 3, 4, 5, letting it all go, 6. At the bottom, you're resting in that space of emptiness. You're resting in the void, creating a space of allowing, creating a space of receiving. As you engage the lungs, inhaling, 2, 3, 4, feeling full and awesome, relaxed, shoulders and neck is relaxed, everything is relaxed as you surrender it again. Release it all, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, as we rest into the bottom. Resting into that emptiness, resting in it, being okay with not know, being okay in that space. And now continue on your own. Continue that cycle of breath as you inhale. Remember, you're taking in all of this vital life energy. You're taking in all of this incredible power into your system, and then you're relaxing around it. You're not controlling it and managing it. You're relaxing around it. And then you're choosing to let it go, because that is conscious creation. I take it and I consciously choose to let it go. I'm letting it all go and I'm purging past the point that I've received, because I want to open my space. I want to be ready to receive all that is available. As you can again begin to breathe in, taking in that new energy that's creating all this vitalization of all the cells throughout your whole body, all that oxygen and purity moving through your system, helping to cleanse and create newness. And then resting at the top as you're full, surrendering it, letting it go, and letting these words wash over you as you experience this. I am the evolution of God realized as matter. I inform and guide that expression as the pure expression of God. I show up as God. I connect as God. I align as God. I am creation realized. And from that, I create, I expand, and I engage. I am. Good. And now being in that incredibly aware space, let that energy that you've been holding into the system, let your field expand back out. As does, watch it, feel it. See it. See the gorgeous color, the golds that are infiltrated through your field. See the colors as they expand, and notice how enormous your energy is. And bring your awareness back into this space with Motion Eye as we dive in more deeply to this amazing topic of self-awareness. And what a great experience in self-awareness to be able to explore your own physicality in a way you may never have before. And we're back. Back to self-awareness. Right on. Hi.
Hey, I didn't want that to end.
Yeah, that felt really good today. It was just like an ocean kind of moving back and forth and back and forth. So let's just get into the meat of the matter here. This was something that you had brought up in the last conversation that I think is a very valuable tool to understanding levels of self-awareness, and that is, you had brought up the idea of friction. So I'll let you introduce it, as it were.
Sure. I was thinking about friction in the sense that a lot of writings and thought leadership around consciousness, to me, suggests that frictionless is better. That mm-hmm. friction is resistance. It means something's off. And I was questioning that, realized that friction is what lets us notice things. Whether it's interacting with someone and whether there's conflict, whether there's intimacy, like holding someone's hand, kissing, all that stuff is friction, lets us feel it. and note where we, where our physical body ends or energetic body ends and others begin. So I was questioning if basically the benefits of friction or the necessity of friction rather, and to step into friction rather than try to avoid it.
Cool. Quick note, side note, because I like to do this. I just want to say Michael was saying hi. Hi, Moshe. So Michael says hi to you.
Hey, Michael.
So you bring up something that I think is really cool about this. So my experience of friction is a rub. It's where two energies come together and they rub. I don't see resistance in friction. I see resistance as a result and a reaction to friction. So, and why do I say that? Well, because if you take two energy, if you take two pieces of paper, take anything here, I'm going to take two pens and I'm going to rub them together. There's friction there. There's friction because the two surfaces are rubbing together. They're creating a dynamic, but there's no resistance because the pens can be pulled apart, right? They can be separated. There isn't resistance that's causing the friction. It's two different energies that are coming together that don't have an understanding or don't have a relationship yet, or the relationship that's there is confused. It's a rub, right? If you think about it in terms of beliefs, if I'm trying to come up with ways to create money, I'm trying to create a situation where I'm creating regular income. Maybe I'm going too big with this, but I'll go there because it's what's on my mind. So in the concept of money, I have lots of belief systems, right? I have all kinds of belief stuff I picked up from my parents, stuff I picked up from significant others, stuff I picked up from my experience. And so here I am having this, I'm having a moment of saying, oh, here is a way I could create income that I think would be really cool. And when I lean into that idea, I feel a rub. I feel this, ooh, that doesn't feel good. And I'm like, oh man, I thought this was really going to be a good idea. And the trick is that it is a good idea. It's a good idea because it created the rub. It created the pace for you to notice there's contrast. There's something here that is that your desire for more income and your belief about your ability to have income don't agree with each other because you're holding something they're not in harmony. So the self-awareness piece is being aware of the friction, because the friction takes you to self-awareness, because you have to stop and go, wait, something's not right here. Why is this is feeling weird. This is feeling a rub, or this is feeling icky, or whatever the feeling is, how it shows up for you. I'll stop there for now.
I hear what you're talking about is friction as information. Or the result of friction, when being the self-awareness comes in, when being aware of friction, like this thought doesn't feel good, or this action doesn't feel good. There's some conflict with the belief system or something. And so that the result of the friction is self-awareness, which then lets me or whoever it is figure out what is that and resolve it.
So I wanted to look up friction because I said specifically I did not think that friction was about resistance. And unfortunately, as a noun, the definition of resistance is, or the definition of friction is, the resistance that one surface or object encounters when moving over another. So I still am going to contend that I don't think that's resistance. I'm still going to say that. I'm not a scientist, but I'm an energy guy. And I think the resistance comes, as a result of your response to the friction. So if you have friction and it takes you into a space of observe, then you are in the space of self-awareness. If you have friction and it takes you to resistance, you are in self-indulgence. You are in a space of ego-driven energy that's battling against this friction that's trying to show you something in awareness. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there are other words for it. In my language, the words that I'm using, I'm not trying to rewrite science. I'm trying to explain it as I experience it in energy, that I just don't feel like when I hit a rub and I'll hit a rub and I'll be in a place of discomfort about it. And then I can go to resistance because I don't want to deal with it, or I don't like it, or I don't like how it feels. Or I can go, ooh, what's that? Why does that feel so uncomfortable? What's here? What can I see here? What can I know here? What am I rubbing against? That's not a resistant state. That's a state of observation, and that state takes you to a state of awareness. How do you feel about that?
Yeah. I think there's two layers. One okay. is like what the dictionary definition is: when there's a rub, in order to be a rub, I'm rubbing my hands together. In order to be a rub, there's some kind of resistance. There's on a physical level, there's resistance okay. for something to rub against something else. What I think you're talking about is emotional resistance, or more of an energetic resistance that yeah. comes as a result of noticing the rub.
Okay. It says here, the other part of it is the action of one surface or object rubbing against another.
Yeah. And that's how you're talking about it.
Yeah. Conflict or animosity caused by a clash of wills, temperaments, or opinions. So I guess in a very, very technical sense, I still have a hard time with the idea that that's resistance. As I'm rubbing, there is a sense of resistance, I guess. I just don't identify it there, but it doesn't matter. I mean, it's not a significant thing to our conversation.
Right.
But it's more about under. Go ahead.
Yeah. The value of it is it's a wake up call. And I hear you talk about resistance pretty much as there's something that's not aligning with something else. So there is a clash of beliefs or thing. Mm-hmm. And it's, hey, what's going on? What's this about? So that's the value of friction. And the word you used when we first started talking about it was contrast.
Yeah.
Can you add and that's, explain what you mean by that?
Sure. It's a word actually that comes from or has come through the law of attraction material and the stuff that Esther Hicks does and Abraham. It's contrast is just any energy that causes the rub. It's the same. I don't think friction and contrast are a whole lot different in that regard. Friction in the context of the words as we use them seems to be a little more intense, where friction is a rubbing, where contrast is noticing the thing or things that are not in alignment with what you think you think or think you feel or think you know. So contrast is like, oh, I believe that the sky is green, and then you fall on your back and look at the sky and the sky is nothing but blue. But you still want to think the sky is green. The contrast is the sky that you're looking at is blue, but you keep wanting to believe it's green. So it creates a contrast. There's two different viewpoints happening here. The friction, I think maybe that comes more in personal interaction, maybe, or interaction with with more emotion, because there is that rub to it. There's a, yeah, I'm rubbing, doing this with my fingers because I'm trying to get the word, but ultimately they still seem very similar. I mean, I think it's splitting hairs in a way in that anything that's going to cause a rub or cause that contrast that's going to bring it up is about bringing around self-awareness. It just depends on where your focus is. So if you're seeing the contrast and you're fighting against it, you're creating resistance, you're creating friction. You're rubbing against, you're fighting against, you're resisting.
I think it brings us back to our starting point, Jim, when you and I talked a couple of days or a week ago about this, that friction, we often attach a judgment of bad to friction. And contrast, I think we tend to be more neutral about, like your shirt. Jim's wearing a shirt with bold blue and white vertical stripes. There's a lot of contrast in it. There's not friction. When we hear friction, I think we're conditioned to think that we want to eliminate, that's, it's bad, we want to eliminate it. Whereas the way you're talking about it is it's a gift, it's a wake-up call. And if we go through life without it, and I'm elaborating on what you're saying, if we go through life without, if there is no friction, we're either, we have this perfect life where we're just avoiding as hell and just not acknowledging it. But the benefit of friction is it lets us wake up.
And I think the thing that to remember about this that makes it important is that we don't know what we don't know. So, and what I mean by that is I have awareness of, and over the course of even the last 10 years, my awareness has grown exponentially about my experience, about my life, about who I am, about my relationship with God, about my, all of that. But none of that would have occurred without the impetus to generate the energy to understand where I'm at in relation to whatever belief or idea or thought or construct that I'm attempting to align with. So here I am having an experience and I want to experience, I want to change. I find myself moving through my life, resisting everything. I'm just making this example up. So what do I mean by that? So somebody calls and says, hey, let's go do X. And my first response is no. Or my first response is I can't. Or my first response is because I'm a little resistant to spontaneity. So, or spontaneity freaks me out. So I can't just stop everything and go do things. I have to has to be planned, has to be thought through. And so you can see, as I'm talking about this, there is a friction that's built in the words that I'm using about this idea of being spontaneous. The tone in my voice changed. The attitude of my body changed because I'm encountering a contrast or I'm encountering some friction within myself that I'm being called to be spontaneous and I can't meet the moment. Because my belief, the thing that I don't know about myself yet, and that's the trick here. Remember, all of this stuff is, there's so much stuff that sits below the conscious threshold that we are unaware of in our experience that drives our experience, which is why changing our relationship with fear is so important. Because when you take the layer of fear out, then you're not resisting the stuff that's trying to come forward to become conscious. Because remember, that's what becoming conscious is about. Moving all of that stuff below the conscious threshold, above the conscious threshold, so that you become more aware, you become more dialed in, you become more connected to all of who you are. And so in the example I was giving you, the spontaneity, I'm not thinking about it. I'm just, I get a phone call, hey, or I get a text, hey, let's go do X. And my insides immediately clamp. And I go, I can't just stop right now. The world would end if I left now. I can't, whatever drama. And if you stop and listen to it, you'll hear that kind of histrionic drama going on in your head about things of that nature with regard to belief systems. So it's interesting so you're in that space and you're in the moment of that recognition. Now you have an opportunity. That friction is awareness. It is consciousness or it is unconsciousness attempting to become conscious.
Love that. Beautiful. Yeah, that's a really powerful way of looking at friction and what we can do with it, how it wakes us up and lets us become conscious and then make choices.
Yeah.
I have a question about to tie fear into it. Do you want to go there now or wait a bit?
Sure. We're here. Let's go.
You talk a lot about, well, the title of your book, Fear is a Choice, and that when you change your relationship with fear, everything changes. Mm-hmm. So what am I asking? Fear is, in fear, there's friction, right? I'm thinking fear is a reaction to friction. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping you can take it further.
I kind of see it as more of a gatekeeper. So there's conscious awareness, there's unconscious or subconscious stuff. As you move through the world and you are encountering through your five senses the experiences of this life in this planet, and you are being reflected back to you your perception, which is the accumulation of your beliefs being reflected back to you, is what your perception is. So when you look out into the world, what you see is what you believe, what you know, what you have ascribed to, whatever, however that is. Well, I got lost. Give me the word we were focused on. Fear.
Fear.
So how I see it is that in the conscious arena, when you are conscious and in the observer, then fear is just another card on the deck. It's just another thing to observe in your reality. It's something that's there. It's a response that, depending on how old you are, you know, you have had that response in your life many numerous times throughout your life. So you're aware of the experience of it. But in context to the subconscious, I kind of see fear as the fear consciousness is the gatekeeper. Because remember, fear is about dimming down the light. Fear is about keeping you from seeing all of who you are. It's a tool to manage you down. So the gatekeeper of fear in consciousness then is a way of resisting allowing the subconscious to come forward. It's a way of putting resistance between conscious desire and unconscious belief system. And the fear kind of keeps you contracted so that you tend to not want to go there, because if it's fearful, then it's wrong. If it's fearful, then it's bad. If it's fearful, then something about me is not okay, which then feeds into the unworthiness part, which is a whole other ball game we can get into later in the self-awareness trip. So why fear is so important is because I think that if you hold it as a consciousness, it becomes the gatekeeper between your conscious and your unconscious. And it allows for the smallest self, the ego, to continue to manage the show, because that's not important. You don't need to be spontaneous, dude. Seriously. Remember 25 years ago when you were spontaneous and then you had a flat tire and the car ran out of gas and you were stuck on some stupid whatever doing something and it took 3 days to get over it? You can't do that spontaneous stuff. That's how the mind works and uses the fear to manage you. Because then you go, Michael and I have this conversation a lot. Michael will make a declaration about something. Well, you can't do that because, you know, when I did that X something, and I'm like, Mike, when did that last happen in your life? Well, it was just a few years ago. I said, well, it hasn't happened in the 12 years we've been together. So it likely happened before that. But even still, that's 12 years ago. And more likely, it's 25 years ago. Why are you still carrying that belief about that thing? Which is stupid. I say the word stupid only from the perspective that, not because he's stupid, but it's like, huh? How does one equate to the other? But that's how the mind works. And if there is a feared level there, it's going to soldier gather what it needs to make sure that you stay safe in its own perception of what your safety is. So did that answer your question, sir?
Yeah. Yeah, I like that a lot. That gatekeeper piece, that's powerful.
Yeah, and it helps because it really gives us, so you get the rub, you get the friction, you get the contrast, and then you want to go there, and the fear consciousness is saying, yeah, no, you don't want to go there. You don't want to know what's behind the wall. Let me give you this little tidbit here of relief. You know, you're not really a bad person. You're just struggling because you ate candy at 7 o'clock this morning and your blood sugar's messed up. That's all. Don't worry about it. You know what I mean? It's like that kind of thing. I don't know if that was too small, but I think you get what I mean, hopefully.
Yep.
So that leads me real quick here. If we could, I want to dive in just for a second into this self-awareness versus self-indulgence, because it seems really important to me. And it was came up in the meditation this morning. In identifying the difference between self-awareness is when you're cultivating the observer. Self-indulgence is when you're indulging the ego in the resolution. When you're indulging your small-less self. So like I was saying, you know, self-awareness, you go, spontaneous call, hey, let's go do X. I can't do X. I can't. Self-awareness says, interesting reaction. Why am I having that response? Well, I don't need to attend to that at this moment because I really want to go do this thing. So is there really a reason why I can't go do this thing? No. Good. I'll deal with you in a little while, but right now I'm going to go be spontaneous. And that is a self-awareness response. Self-indulgence is spontaneous. Come do it. Oh my God, I can't. Oh my God. And then pretend, and then carrying on the drama, building the emotional drama about why you can't be spontaneous. Well, I just can't. I got too much to do. I have things I have to get handled. And there's so much here that has to be done. And I'm busy. I've got so much going on right now. And I just can't stop everything. What do you think? Blah, 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 blah. And suddenly you're self-indulgent. You're now in an emotional roller coaster loop of your own emotional nonsense that's completely made up, that you're spinning, 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 spinning. That's self-indulgent energy that is vastly different than self-awareness. And I think I wanted to make sure that I defined them separately because I see a lot in the spiritual community of self-indulgence and not self-awareness, meaning we're all tied up in our stuff instead of being aware of our stuff. And then using that awareness to change the stuff, it becomes more story, as it were. When you're in self-indulgence, it becomes more story. It becomes more, I got to tell everybody about my drama. I got to tell everybody about my battle with spontaneity. I'm having a battle with spontaneity. Yeah, fuck your battle. You don't need a battle. Just be aware of it and decide to be something else. Sorry, I didn't mean that to come off so harshly. I'm not a harsh person. It just sometimes it makes me laugh.
the key difference in what you said is in self-awareness, there's the observer and the actor. Because the way you described it is, so if I have this reaction, if you invite me to do something, I'm thinking, oh shit, it's being spontaneous, I don't do that. But then I notice, oh, look at me reacting to that. That there's me, the observer, and me, the actor. In self-indulgence, that distinction doesn't happen. The self-observer.
Or it does. I would contend that it does, and you still choose to indulge the emotion rather than the observation. Because the observation doesn't have any emotion in it. The observation doesn't have, and this is critical here, because a lot of times people think, well, why would I want to be the observer? Because then it feels like I'm sort of detached from it. Exactly. You do, because you are not your emotions. They are indicators. They are a way of informing you of your situation, of what you're experiencing, of your alignment. Your emotions are telling you where you are at in relation to where you want to be. So that's where the difference lies. Did I cut that off too fast?
No, I'm just thinking, I'm thinking of my own experience being self-indulgent. We all do it. We all get caught up in our stories.
Yes.
I'm usually not even aware of an observer neutrally watching and, oh, isn't that interesting? If I'm really indulging, I'm in it and I'm not aware of observing.
I would agree with you. Yes. That's a trained experience, though. That's a trained experience in the emotionality of that particular stimulus or that particular trigger. So let's say you have a relationship, and that relationship causes struggle, causes this reaction every now and again. In the context of relationship, that reaction, if it's something you're used to or something you know has happened before, then you have a habit. You have an experience of this trigger causes this response and you're there. So you think you don't have the observer available. But even in the context of that, all that's required is perspective to change your viewpoint of that in the moment. So how I would handle that, how I do handle that, is that when I feel that rub, if I'm stuck, then I'm going to reach out to someone I can say, hey, can I just this for a second? So that I can get it out of my brain and see it in my world, so that I can detach from the emotional experience and see what I'm dealing with. And I think you do the same thing based on, you know, my experience of you. That's not unusual. If I'm having a conflict, I'm not going to solve it in conflict. I know that. I know absolutely I will not solve any problem in conflict if I'm in conflict. So I have to find some way to find the observer again, to tap back into that space. And that just means I have to go bigger. And going bigger meaning I have to open up my energy. I have to be willing to see a different perspective. And sometimes I have to reach out for that perspective. Sometimes I can get there on my own. But many times, if it's that intense a reaction, I may need a little help getting perspective to say, let me just put this out in front of me a minute so that I'm not in it. I can talk about it. And as I'm talking about it, just talking about it puts it into a more, gives you a little more space with it. Provided, again, you're not in the self-indulgent space. If you're in the self-indulgent space, then you're going to wallow in the emotion of it. If you're in the self-awareness space, you're going to be aware that you're attempting to wallow in the emotion and you're seeking a different perspective to pull you back to self-awareness and out of self-indulgence.
Yeah.
Can you see how that breaks down?
Yeah.
Oh, where are we? Oh, you know what? We've been at, oh my God. We have like 9 minutes left. I thought it was halfway through. I was getting ready to take our break so you could talk about your book, and we didn't even talk about your book. And oh my goodness,
that's all right. This is good.
This is good stuff. So, where are we at here? So we've been talking about cultivating the observer. So let's talk about in this last little bit here the opportunities for awareness. You had suggested that we do a little exercise. It's now a good time for that, you think?
Yeah. And okay. And you just talked about opening the energy to, show us how.
Okay. So one of the things that I do on a regular is I stimulate my own energy through breath and through focus. And I want to take you into that experience a little bit, because it's something that I find that literally shifts me out of pretty much anything almost instantly. So, and what do I mean? So if I'm in a very emotional place and I'm having a deep, and I'm feeling that indulgent feeling, I'm feeling that this is awful and I feel awful and this is why, and I don't understand and what's going on and why do I feel this way and why is this bothering me? So I can use this exercise to help me create space between me and that experience. And my experience of it is it works every single time. And I've been doing it long enough that I can literally shift from completely self-indulgent to self-aware rather quickly, because I'm not attached to my self-indulgence. I know the self-indulgence is there because it's a habit and something that I've done over the course of my life. So my emotional system has a habit. It does. It's not nearly as bad as it was 20 years ago, but it's still there. So this tool helps me a lot. It helps to really focus that energy. So what I want you to do, if you're out there and watching or listening, take your middle finger and I want you to touch the base of your coccyx, which is the base of your sacrum. You have your sacrum that sits on the hip, and underneath that there's a bone that comes down that kind of tucks up just above your butthole. You can feel it. If you reach down there, you can feel that. Just touch it. And notice that when you touch it, there's a little electric feeling to it. Don't jab it, just touch it. You'll notice there's a little electricity to it. And then at the top of the spine, there's a spot, I think they call it the mouth of the soul. So if you trace your hand down your occipital bone down the back here, and you'll find there's a dent, and there's sort of a gap or a hole in the back of there where the spine meets the skull. And just touch that spot gently. And again, you'll feel a little tingle, a little sensation there. So what I do is I focus myself and I start at the bottom and I touch the bottom and I breathe in through the nose and I breathe it out through the mouth. So I'm going to sit forward a little bit here and see if I can get here. So I touch that sacrum, that sacral point, that point at the bottom, and I touch it and I go, and then I bring it up to the top. And then I take it to the bottom. And I start slow and I fill as much air as I can with each one. And what'll happen is you'll start to feel a momentum building as you do it. So the energy will start to move faster, and so will you, and your breath will move faster. I don't want you to manage it or control it. Just run with the flow as it's unfolding for you. You may find that that flow stays nice and easy for a longer period of time, but as you do the exercise over time, you'll find that starting at the beginning sort of is a way of, when you're touching the bottom and touching the top, remember in the meditation, we talked about the spine and the conductor of the spine. It's in fluid. It's a nervous nerve energy that's in there. So as you touch that, you're stimulating the waves of energy up and down the spine. You're moving that energy field up and down. Some will call that Kundalini. I don't know if you're actually invoking the Kundalini energy there, but you are stimulating a move and a rise and a fall of the energy up and down your spine. What that's doing is it's stimulating everything in your body, but it's stimulating your energy so that you can begin to distance from the reaction, that your chemical reaction that you're having, to an observant space. So where would I go from here? So let's go ahead.
Well, I was going to shift gears just a bit. I don't want to interrupt
okay.
What you're doing.
Fine. So anyway, so that's the tool that I use. It takes 2-3 minutes sometimes. It can take longer. The idea is that you would do those cycles of breath maybe 10 times and see how you feel. And if you feel like you need to move it more, go 10 more times. I don't even count anymore. I do it until I feel myself shift. I do it until I feel my body says that's enough energy. And what happens is I can't sustain it. So I'm going, and I'm breathing through it. And then my body just kind of goes, okay, that's enough. I lose my cycle of breath or whatever it is. And then I know that, okay, I can stop from there. And then the third part is right into the center of the heart. And you do the same thing. You touch that space and you open your chest as you inhale. So you inhale and expand and then release it. Inhale through the nose, release through the mouth. Inhale through the nose, release through the mouth. Again, the same, doing that slow in the beginning, get that fullness, and then let it build and let the rhythm build until you feel the shift. And you'll feel it. You'll feel a definite kind of clearing feeling. And it may be very small to begin with, but if you allow that energy to unfold, you will find that you and the thing that you are reacting to will begin to create, you'll begin to create separation. And you'll begin to feel like you have space between you and that response. And because you've connected to your higher self, and to the larger part of you, you'll be getting more clarity about what's below the conscious threshold that can help you better understand what you're responding to.
Beautiful. I want to interject a real quick testimonial. So yeah. I learned this technique from you many years ago. And if for listeners and viewers, you can work with Jim, I strongly encourage you, try a session. It is phenomenal. And eventually I learned to do it on my own, but I first learned to do it on a table with Jim facilitating. I've sent clients to Jim, I've sent friends, and their experience has been literally transformative, life-changing. And it's a great exercise in self-awareness because it's to me, a dramatic way to quickly shift from one state to another. Mm-hmm. And I've done it before giving a speech. I'll go to the bathroom and they're using these points and literally for a minute, and it totally changes things. Or if I'm uptight and then I forget for a year or two to use it till something like this reminds me and I start again, yeah. Think, damn, and bonus, it feels really good.
It looks silly as hell, but it feels really good. It's funny. I say that to clients all the time. It looks really silly, but it feels so amazing where it can take you. Thank you for that, Moshe. Thank you very much for that. Before we go, because we are at that time, thank you all for this, an incredible conversation. Moshe, as always, these conversations are so much fun, and I appreciate how you show up with us. It's just awesome. Moshe's book, since we didn't talk about it today, Moshe's book, The Amari Wave, Uplifting Business by Putting Love to Work. Moshe's really doing amazing work in helping to change the structure of the business culture. And it works. The interesting part of that is that it works for not only the business, but for the individual. Right. So catch the Amari Wave. The AmariWave.com is where you can go to to check that out. And I have that here so you can see it. Gosh darn glasses. Where did it go? There we are. AmariWave.com. www.theamariwave.com. You can check out and reach Moshe there. Moshe, as always, these conversations are the bomb, and I appreciate you and I appreciate your time. And thanks for the encouragement.
Yeah. It is important stuff. Appreciate you, Jim.
Good stuff. Have a great day, guys. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time on Adventures in Truth Livecast. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Livecast. Please like, subscribe, and share. If you'd like to learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, check it out at www.fearisachoicebook.com. Also check out Moments of Truth, a new offering from Adventures in Truth. If you'd like to work with Jim, check out www.thescientetransformation.com to book a session. Tune in live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time and every Friday, 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Or look for our new releases and podcasts every Monday. Until next time, be well, and we'll see you again on Adventures in Truth Livecast.